We've dropped fresh content each week for the past 9 months, and rather than go silent while taking a break, we decided to drop a previous episode that we thought was really good. So we hope you'll enjoy this remix of Contentment, Complacency, and Change.
Thanks for listening to the Doorways Leadership and Influence Network podcast. I'm Krista Hoke. We believe influence is an expression of healthy leadership, and leadership is best measured by its influence. We are better together as we grow and advance the kingdom of God. Thanks for joining us. Are you ready? Let's get started.
Welcome to the Doorways Leadership and Influence Network podcast. My name is Rick Shields, and I'm glad you're here. And I'm also glad to be joined by my friend and colleague, Mike Atkinson. Together, we direct the Doorways Leadership and Influence Network.
And we're so glad that you have chosen to join us and to be so faithful in listening to our podcast. We have enjoyed this tremendously, have grown from it, and we hope you are growing from it as well.
It's been a lot bigger job than I thought it was going to be, Mike.
Well, yeah, it's been a bigger job. You've been probably the more administrative side of it, but I've really enjoyed the interviews and speaking with our guests. I have just been blown away by what they've brought to the table. Kind of brings us to the point of this podcast. If people can't tell already, we're doing things a little bit differently this time. And our goal is that every once in a while, not frequently, but every once in a while, that we're going to take a topic and discuss it between us and just kind of just share our thoughts on it. And we know that our part of our listening group and our network, we deal with common issues on a daily basis. And we want this to be a very practical and helpful podcast. And part of that is talking about relevant issues going on.
We're not, we don't lead the World Bank. Neither of us have any aspiration to be in political leadership, and none of the people that are our network, do I see them interested in that. But in life, I mean, we're going to be called on to be leaders in one way or another at one time or another. And I think we still need to be prepared for that. So, yeah, I think this is good. And I like the idea that you brought here to the table today. Let's just talk about some of these things that are relevant. They're real. We might not have a guest. We've had several guests already that have given us some ideas. So yeah, I think this is good.
Well, one of the first things that jumped out at me for us to discuss is change. It's challenging in and of itself, no matter who we are, what's going on, whether we're inside a role, inside an organization, or we're leading an organization. Change is one of the toughest things to have to respond to and deal with. I know my life, I like things in a comfortable set routine way, and change can throw me for a loop from time to time. And it's a challenge for me to address it. But I also know in leadership roles, it's part of our responsibility, not only to face it, but also sometimes to initiate change, which is a challenge in and of itself.
It's absolutely vital for us in leadership roles to not just embrace change, but to bring it. And it used to be said, I don't know if it's said so much anymore, but I remember working on church staffs over the years, and I would hear this mantra of the pastor is the keeper of the vision. I understand that too. I understand that the pastor should be one that really is the head of the church and should be bringing direction. I understand that and believe for the most part that's true. That's not to say the change or vision can't also come from within. The problem is sometimes it comes to the point where the pastor feels pretty visioned out. Yeah. Or if it's not the pastor, the leader of an organization feels pretty visioned out. What do we do when that happens?
Obviously, the Bible talks about where there's a lack of vision, the people perish. And we've seen, you and I have both, just in our experiences along the way, and I'm sure probably all of our listeners and part of people in our network have dealt with times in our lives where we've kind of questioned or kind of wondered what's the next step? Where do we go from here? And in the vision, we can't see very far in front of us. We have to really dig deep during those times and really question what's going on. What approach are we going to take and where are we going to go from here? And, in my life, I really have to kind of guard against complacency setting in. And I understand Paul talked about being content in every situation, every circumstance. And I think that's a goal for us to have. And being content is being grateful and thankful for the things we have, for being satisfied with what we have. But complacency has been defined as being like being so self-satisfied that we don't even try to do or to even get better, that we're kind of comfortable with where we're at or what things are going with, and we don't even want to stretch. for us as leaders, we have to, from time to time, really question and dig deep to see what's causing us to be so reticent to change. Yeah. Is it that we're so content with, and we're in a sweet spot, we're comfortable, things are going well, and we kind of want to sit here and we sit here too long and then things become stale? Or is it, you know, sometimes it's wisdom, and we have to admit that sometimes it's the proper thing to do is to be still and to wait. But as leaders, we can't fall on sitting on our hands and just letting things happen on their own. I think one of the worst things that we can do as leaders is to kind of let our people just kind of flail in the wind a little bit and not have any sense of where we're going or what we're doing.
Yeah, I think those are good things. That contentment, complacency, those are two very different things.
Yeah.
But I think contentment can lead pretty directly to complacency. Yeah. And I wonder, but what part of the reason why we can be so hesitant for change is because we get tired.
Yeah.
We're so busy doing so many different things, and we're just convinced that the things that we started 15 years ago or 20 years ago that met a real need then, and maybe even still meet some need today, that does not mean that we have to continue to do that. We don't have to institutionalize that.
Yeah.
But that we can let some of those things go in search of a greater good. And we tend to, I think we get tired doing so much stuff that we see it as just adding one more thing. And I don't know if I can have one more thing.
Yeah. And if when my first thing that comes to me on my, when I question that is, how good am I delegating things? Am I still holding on to things that I've done in the past because I'm good at doing it, or I don't want to invest the time to teach others to do it when I should be? And it's just easier for me to do it. And then when it comes time to make a change or to add something, I don't have the capacity to do it because I've done a poor job delegating other things.
Right. You're preaching to the choir here. Stop it. My goodness.
Well, you know, it's part of our leadership responsibilities is to grow others, right? And absolutely. So if we do not give them the opportunity to stretch and grow, and we don't, some people look at delegation as a negative, and I have to force myself sometimes to look at it as a very positive thing, that we want to train others and let them see and, you know, challenge them to grow and to do better. So and that's one of the, usually I start, if I'm point fingers, I start pointing at myself regarding delegation in that area.
And I think in the church, delegation is a blessing because you continue to raise up leaders by delegating things to people and letting them do it. And as we've said in previous podcasts, man, sometimes they're going to do it and they're going to fail. Right. Or they're going to do a really poor job. Okay. And so then we come alongside them.
Right.
We give them some feedback. We help them to see a way, maybe see some areas that, okay, you maybe didn't do this very well, but this you did really great. And help them to understand how we could make that change in the future. But I think it's a blessing. We want people to be involved in church, but typically what we end up doing is allowing them to be involved every time the offering plate is passed.
Yeah.
And we want to make sure their tithe comes, and that's really good.
Yeah. And I think it's not even just, you know, it goes beyond church into our workplace or wherever too, is the expectations. And so, you know, we want to delegate, we want to keep things at a certain level, but we also need to understand very rarely is it going to be, you're going to nail it the first time. So set the expectations right from the get-go and don't install in your people a fear of failure. One of the things I noted in what causes us to be reticent to change, you know, there's three things, but one of those is definitely fear of failure, that, you know, I'm going to make a mistake, it's going to end the world or whatever. And very rarely is that the case. And often
well, the world hasn't about, ended yet. And there's been a lot of failures over the years.
And as we talked in other podcasts, we often learn more from failures than what we do from our successes. And so I think and if you walk through that with someone, one of your staff members or whoever, and it doesn't go the way that you expected it to go, but you have grace and you work with them through that, I think you've gained so much ground with them. I think there's some loyalty in that and they understand and your expectations, what they are. I think it's a win-win regardless of what the actual outcome was. And then plus you're building that opportunity for the next time to delegate, and they're going to have that, you know, such a less that of that fear of failure. They're going to know that they can stretch and can go for it. So
no, I think of all places, the church has to be the place where it is a large group of leaders, not a group of followers. And
there you go. And so it's, I think it's such a leader rich environment.
Yeah.
And yet we see so many churches fail in that area of equipping and developing. Here they've got this source of an opportunity to invest in leadership development and just sitting right there and just don't step out and do that.
That's, and they'd be really good at teaching. That's not to say that teaching is poor, that people aren't learning, but developing leadership, things that people can take from this place and take it with them where they go. I recently, I've got a friend who's in prison. I recently sent him a cultural backgrounds of the New Testament Bible. I sent it to him with this instruction. I said, I charge you to share the things you're learning with other people. So don't just take what you're learning and what you're doing and what you're doing well and make it so that people are attracted to you so that then you can share your words of wisdom with them. But take those things and share with others so that they'll share with others. And that's the very thing that Paul instructs Timothy to do.
Yeah.
And that I don't think we do really well.
Yeah, I don't think we do. And part of it is too, is we have to admit it's sometimes it's not easy. It takes time. It takes investment. And sometimes it's quicker. I'm just going to do it myself and just get it done, as opposed to,
right,
hey, I'm going to spend some time with this individual and show them how to do it or walk with them through it. And it may take a little bit longer initially, but in the long run, you're going to be far much better off because they're going to have the capability to do it and you've invested in them. But short term, it does take a little bit longer. And so, yeah, and we sit here, we don't, obviously our thoughts are, we don't want to hammer others on this, or thought that we understand how difficult it can be.
Yeah, it's not like we're so good at it. We perfected it and we're here to tell everybody how to do it.
Right. I think it's just things too that, you know, you just observe along the way. And, you know, there's some things I would change in my background, in my experiences that I would do differently, that I would definitely invest more in others along the way.
What are you reading now in terms of leadership? Now, I'll tell you what I'm reading when I hear from you.
Why don't you go ahead and you go first and then I'll
Mine's going to be boring, but no, I'm going to go ahead and read it. You know, for years, I heard about this book, The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People, and I kept thinking I should get that book. I got ready to purchase it the other day, and I thought, you know, I wonder. And I went out on the bookshelf in the living room. Not only did I have the book, but I had a piece of paper from a notepad from the Dragon Hill Lodge in Seoul, South Korea. I apparently took this book with me to Korea to see my son when he was in the army Korea, like 92 or 93. And so I've had that book sitting on my bookshelf and I haven't read it. So I've started that. And unfortunately, I need to start one and finish it. But then I went ahead and started Craig Rochelle's new book, Lead Like It Matters. Man, it's such a rich resource. And then I just bought this one the other day, Leadership Not by the Book by David Green, the guy who started Hobby Lobby. So I've started that. And I need to finish one probably before I start the others, but I get so excited. So those are the three I'm currently invested in. How about you? Yeah,
there's a couple usually I review books and then go from there. But right now I'm in Atomic Habits by James Clear. And he talks about improving things 1% at a time. That a lot of times when we go out and try to set these big audacious goals, we're kind of just setting ourselves up for failure. But if we look at approaching things by just small, gradual improvement, that we're going to be better off in the long run. And I think that's a huge thing. And I'll read Covey stuff from time to time. I'll go back to Good to Great often and just review things, kind of going from there. But right now, Atomic Habits is one of the ones that I'm reading right now.
And I've heard about that from many people. So that's probably one I need to add to my reading list here. Yeah. I'm also reading another one. It's an older book by George Friedman. It's a forecast of geopolitical things in the next 100 years. And the accuracy with which he's been able to predict some of the geopolitical events has been just outstanding. Yeah, it's an outstanding book. Huh. I think it's called The Next 100 Years by George Friedman. Yeah, I think we learn about leadership not just from leadership books that are specifically about that, but also things that encompass even wider topics that help us to then put other things in perspective that we maybe never would have. So,
well, they say leaders are readers. And I think with all the social media and whatever you got going on today, YouTube, TED Talks, there are definitely great sources of leadership material out there. So make yourself available. I usually have a podcast or a TED Talk going on in my office in the background all the time. in conclusion, or kind of just kind of wrap this up, any thoughts on what we can share with our group, with our network, ways that we can help them deal with change or embrace change, or any thoughts that you want to bring to the table on that?
You know, I think conversations like this are really good, Mike.
Yeah.
I think these really are. And hopefully we can continue having conversations like this and challenge people in the way they think by suggesting to them resources that they may be able to use. I think those are pretty helpful tools. I like the quarterly meetings that we have, and none of them have been the same, mm-hmm. to be able to help people understand there are these various avenues of ministry, things we can do, could do, should do, will do. I think that's very important. What kind of things, what do you have in mind in that regard?
Well, in my context, and just from where I was thinking, like, it's good to take a look sometimes and say, look at areas where maybe necessarily haven't grown, and challenge yourself to do so, and to look at areas where you kind of may have grown comfortable or grown complacent, and say, why, what has caused that? You know, what can I come through? And I think it's good to talk to others, to ask others that you're close to, that you trust, that can give you insight on maybe why, maybe you've stayed where you're stayed, you know, not willing to make that change. And I think when you're leading a staff or a group, and it comes time to make a change. We recently here had some processes and stuff that we're starting to make some changes in, that we've done things a certain way for a long time, and we've done them well, and we do a good job. But was I afraid to risk the good for being great and to improve? And so I had to rattle some cages or break a few eggs along the way and make some changes. And one of the biggest things that I decided to do was make sure that first thing we started with was communication, and communicate why. Why are we making the change? Why is it important to do that? And I think same thing in our personal lives. And if changes come, we need to make changes, I think, for us to acknowledge and to understand the reason why, and why it's important that we do change, that we want to continue to be relevant. We want to continue to have an impact. We want to continue to grow and develop. And a lot of times it only comes through change, and we have to be bold and brave to do that. But I think communication with our staff, giving them the understanding why, and then also letting them being participant or ownership in that change and in the process and the thoughts. I think you don't just hand it to them and say, hey, here's what we're doing, deal with it. I think you let them be participants in that and have some ownership decisions in that. I think you're more likely to get a group that's on board with you, as opposed to one that's going to fight you with those changes.
Probably starts with self-assessment.
Yeah.
Probably begins there when we begin to say, what's going on in me that's resistant to change or can't see something new? What's that? And then I absolutely agree with you. If we're in an organization with others, if we don't have their buy-in,
right,
if we don't have their willingness to say, I think that's a good idea, or hear from them about what could be something we didn't consider.
Right.
I think early on you made some comment, I think in our debut podcast, about the cell phone companies, and they were trying to figure out how to make mm-hmm. the cell phones work and how they got connected and whatever. And here it was, a low-level person got invited to a meeting somehow, or maybe that person just walked in and said, hey, what's for lunch? I don't know. And that person had the idea that all of a sudden changed it, put it all together and said, here's how we need to connect. That's the right way. Who knows? By opening that to others and getting their buy-in and getting their feedback, I think we have a chance to grow, and that's pretty important for us.
Yeah, I agree. And I've enjoyed this opportunity to talk and share with you. And hopefully the listeners have gained some things through this. And if they're experiencing or getting ready to experience some change, to understand, yeah, it's a challenge. It's not easy sometimes, or most of the time it's not easy, but that doesn't mean that it's not important or not beneficial to experience it.
Hey friend, that's our show for today. If you enjoyed the content or would like to hear future podcasts, please subscribe so you can be notified when new podcasts are released. On behalf of Mike Atkinson, Rick Shields, and our amazing Doorways Leadership and Influence Network partners, this is Krista Hoke saying, thanks for listening.